hungry? We hope so, because we got an extra special slice of Tres Leches for you today. That's right. Tres Leches has gone country. Beyonce has taken us down south, and we're staying for good. And for the first time ever, we're welcoming a guest co-host, our dear friend, actor, singer, and Broadway star, Donnell James Foreman is here to help us talk all things Cowboy Carter. And after that, we're going to mop up that spilled milk that was left over from last week, that messy man who was hooking up or doing whatever with his roommate. Oh, it's a real mess. Bless his heart. Well, it's time for the show, but remember, wash your hands and say your prayers, because Jesus and germs are everywhere. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Tres Leches. This is a very, very special show.
The most special.
It's the most special. Tuan over here. Hello, Ian. Say hello.
Hi, hello, everybody. Buenos dias. Hola, hola, beautiful souls. Ian over here in New York as well.
Exactly.
And we are joined by...
We have just a very special show because, you know, we are Tres Leches, as you know. But this week, it's a special serving of Tres Leches. It's Tres Leches de Chocolate.
Yes.
We are so happy because this is our first time inviting a guest to co-host. Before we introduce him, Johnny is busy. He is in Los Angeles shooting a very top secret thing, which he will tell us about in due time. So he can't be with us here today. But we are we have him here in spirit, and he'll be back next week with more of his Johnny-isms. But in the meantime, we're tickled pink, baby. We are so delighted because one of our dearest friends is joining us today. But before we tell you who it is, he's an actor, singer, Broadway star, Ian and him. They were a part of the Mamma Mia family, I should say. He has been one of my closest New York friends from the very beginning. Like, you know what? He has left a handprint on my heart. On top of that, he has a brain like no other, baby. This boy knows music in a way that everyone should have studied the musical canon of American music. This boy knows it best. Without further ado, here he is, Donnell James Foreman. Hello, Donnell.
Oh my God.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm great. I'm honored that I get to be here to discuss what we're going to discuss.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast appearance, and I'm very happy that it's with you both. And Johnny, you are here in spirit. Love you.
Mwah. We do love you, Johnny. Hi, Donnell. It's so good to have you.
Hi, good to see you both.
Same. You know, it's very, it's so like fortuitous and kind of a perfect day for you to join in on this conversation, because we are going to discuss all, you know, definitely. Actually, Donnell and I have a fun little journey of like, we both moved to LA around the same time from New York. And I had originally met Donnell through Juan as well. And we both this last year shared our love for the Renaissance album and kind of just like what it did for me. And it kind of like
we went together.
We sure did. We sure did. Yeah. On Diana Ross's birthday. Beyonce's birthday.
Yes. Featuring
Diana Ross. Excuse me. Yes. But you know, and you were kind of a part of my reinvigorating of my love for Beyonce and you know, for us to kind of go into what we're going to discuss today, which is Cowboy Carter, baby. It just
hey, yes. Hey.
This ain't Texas.
It is not.
Before we start, I was just going to say, I've been laughing nonstop for 3 days about Cardi B going live on TikTok and people putting, you know, cowboy hats on her. And every time they put a cowboy hat, she's like, this ain't Texas. You guys got to stop. Please don't anymore. Please. This ain't Texas. It's just...
Yes, yeah, so
effortlessly hilarious.
You're gonna have to send me. You know, both of I you will. Both always. You know, I should pay you both to keep Uh-oh. Me in the online loop.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
I spent a lot of time on my phone.
Yes, we spent a lot of time. You know, I have known Donnell a long time, and not to continue to gas him up before we get to Cowboy Carter, but this just gives context. So when I first met Donnell, what I loved most about him is, well, obviously his bubbling personality and his delicious good looks. But on top of that is his taste level.
Oof.
Maybe the taste level is very high. It's very high. It's refined. If he likes it, if you don't like something he likes, it's because you have bad taste.
And listen, everyone is free to like what they like. But what I don't do, this is what I've realized the older
what
I get.
What don't you do?
I just love music so much. I don't argue about it with people. Because it brings me too much joy. And
yes.
It's like, we don't have to like the same thing. I'm not going to really fight you about it. I'm going to try to explain or educate you or, you know, maybe see it from a different side. But at some point, I'm like, this makes me too happy. I'm not going to argue about or fight with people about whether
We're
they should be listening
there.
To Cowboy Carter. Like, no. Like,
yeah.
Press play
does
or
does it
no.
make you feel a certain way, though? And you just kind of go like, oh, that's cute.
It does. Because, listen, I don't. Let's start from the beginning. Beyonce, we're going to go into a Beyonce moment. So let's just talk about Beyonce.
Let's talk about Beyonce.
She is an artist of my lifetime. Destiny's Child came out when I was around 10. So, like, I've listened to her my whole life. There's nothing you can say about her work to make me question her abilities. Like, it's just too good. And we have too much material to even question it. And everything is different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when we got this album, it was like, this is so, like, this lady just put out Renaissance? This is the same woman that put that out?
Insane. I know.
And the timeline.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, listen, if you don't like country music, if you don't like whatever, we're not really talking about that. We're talking about this woman gives you an education, and it makes me want to learn more about music when I listen to her. It's not just, oh, here's an album with some songs. It's like, you're going to go on a history lesson. And I love that.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in that one of the first things I said after like listening to it was this is a thesis statement. She creates these pieces, like she makes pieces of art that like you hear and you have to kind of like listen to a lot to really kind of get the full color and full picture. And they're just saying so much. And like you said, it's like educational. And like, I'm over here learning about all these other country artists that were before. Yep. I like that it makes me have to go into the encyclopedia of music and life.
Yes.
And you kind of, you know, cause it, I don't know. She's so just good at that. But all of that to say that like, she be doing thesis statements. Like that's her thing.
And I've learned, like, Cowboy Carter, I don't know if it's because it's the longest. I don't know minute-wise if it's the longest, but it's the most tracks we've ever gotten from her on a record.
For sure.
So I'm like, even though it's all I've listened to for the last 3 days, I'm still taking my time because it's so dense.
Yeah.
And it's so full that I'm like, oh, I'm going to be with this for a while. Because I remember when Self-Titled came out, end of 2013. And it's like, that's all I listened to for like 6 months and like just devoured it so fast. And then everything that's happened since then, it's like, oh, we can take a little more time with this because like, there's so many things that you're not going to key into the first time. And even with, you know, the credits of the album not coming out until today, there are samples and interpolations of things that I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. And so now I'm going to go back and like, listen to all those songs and do my research. And it's, yeah. I'm taking my time, but also diving in fully.
Of course. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
As a very like general kind of observation about this album and kind of general first impressions, when we found out how soon it was coming out, my initial gut was, oh, why don't you just wait a little longer? We just had Renaissance.
Surprised.
Let's just kind of let everything simmer. And I also was kind of, I wasn't being a hater, but I just wasn't terribly excited at the idea of a country album.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What that meant. right? Yeah. What is that? What does that look like for Beyonce? But that was me being an ignorant asshole because she is too good to let me down.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, I just trust what we're going to get.
And that was my mistake, is that although I've trusted her up until here, for some reason, the country label, even though I like country music just fine, the country label, it felt like she was going to be doing drag, country drag.
Right.
But this is not that.
No.
She is doing something. She is not putting on anything. This is Beyonce's country music because she is from this here country and she is this country.
Correct.
She is the United States of America.
Exactly.
Red, white, and B.
Correct.
Bringing us all together.
And it is a country album. It is because its greatest influences are from the arena of and the history of country music. But really, it feels like something bigger than that. It feels like a very well thought out and very musically delicious lecture.
Yeah.
Yes.
On
yes.
American music.
Yes.
So this is what I thought. Let me jump in here. I thought when she announced, when we saw we were getting all these songs.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's back up a little further. Let's go to Super Bowl.
Great.
And so we got Texas Hold'em, 16 Carriages. Now, I was thinking, oh, this is giving me Sasha Fierce. We're going to get two sides. We're going to like...
That's
what I was getting at first. And then I saw there were 27 tracks, and I was like, oh, we're really getting like two moments. But when I listen to it, I hear it in three chunks. And the first third, I don't know exactly where I would, you know, turn the disc, but the first third is giving me like... This is what country is. This is what people think country music is. And it's going to be black and white. And they're like 16 Carriages and Blackbird.
Blackbird,
and
yes.
Very traditional. Once we turn to spaghetti, we're in a different now
place.
We're giving you what I would call, so what I said, like, we're giving you country grammar now. Now we're going into like country, southern. It's like, I don't want to call it country because like that term is just so like,
it's
loaded.
So heavy. Yeah, so it's southern black. Whatever that means for that last chunk, and then the third chunk is Beyonce. Period. Like whatever she does, it's gonna have an influence because she's from Texas. You know, it's like Yaya. When I listen to Yaya,
yes,
it's like I wouldn't necessarily call that a country song. Like that's giving me Tina Turner. It's giving me country. It's giving me the bridge of country and rock.
Mm. Yes, it definitely is.
You know, so it's like she's able to give you the foundational sounds. We're getting banjos, we're getting guitars, we're getting all that. But it's still a bit like, but the Dream produced half of the album. So like we're getting Beyonce sound. And that's just so, I think when people press play, they're going to jump in and think it's one thing. And then once you get through that hour 18, it's like, oh, we've gone through a whole journey, and I don't even want to. I keep not calling it country. I'm like, is it Americana? Is it just Southern American music? Like,
it's,
you know,
I think she's trying to prove a point after all the hate, and this would be an understatement. The chilly reception that she received at the CMAs when she performed "Daddy Lessons" in 2016, when "Daddy Lessons" came out, and the kind of cold shoulder that was shown to her by fans of country, white with a hua, okay?
Yeah, the hard
white
W.
Fans of country. I think that this is her very well thought out response to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, "Daddy Lessons" is an amazing song.
Oh, I love that song.
I just watched that performance this morning and I'm like, there's no way you could watch her and the chicks and be standing there with your arms folded and mad. Like, they tore that up.
Wow.
And they did.
So I haven't watched it, but like, I'm sure her performance was amazing, but I'm talking about, was it an,
the audience cut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about, what was the audience doing?
Standing.
Stone. I mean, like
standing watching,
enjoying, but stony. But the thing is, there was a lot of baggage with "Daddy Lessons" because it wasn't just Beyonce.
The chicks
It was the chicks as well, who who already have a history with the CMAs and with country audiences, and country listeners, I should say. There's already baggage there. Yeah. So you put them together to put this Black woman on stage with them singing this very country song, right? That could have been recorded by, you know, any female pop country artist, and it would have done well. It's a great song. It was, you know, the outcry and the outright racism that, haunted that track and its rollout, I think is what propelled the creative force that led us to this. I really think that.
I saw a tweet that was like, I want to thank the CMAs.
Yeah,
for this girl.
Exactly.
Because,
yeah,
come on. But yeah, but they, I mean, yeah, the chicks, they were already dealing with, I don't know if it was still post-Bush.
It was post-Bush.
That backlash. And then to invite her on stage. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's wild that America, Black people are everywhere in America. And to think that we don't belong in this music genre. It's like, she is from Texas. She's a Southern woman. Why are we just assuming that only white people make country music?
And like, yeah, and that's what I love about, I'm forgetting her name right now, who's the feature of the first Black woman to have performed at Grand Ole, oh my God.
Linda Martell.
Yes. That opening, that intro about genre is just literally like, she says it. She's like, this is what we're discussing. This is the
and
topic.
She's
of
been this- talking about it.
Yeah.
And the production of her, of that track, the Linda Martell track is so wonderful because the production makes it seem like she's saying this to a large arena, right? Yes. She could be at the Grand Ole Opry. You hear the audience applauding her. Joyful applause.
Yes.
And if you clip your AirPods in, right, turn to 100, you got that weed gummy on and running, you can really see Linda getting the flowers that she deserved.
Yes.
And that's what Beyoncé does.
Yes.
I'm so happy she's still alive.
Correct.
Maybe she can see all this happening. And, you know, and now, you know, from following Mama Tina on Instagram, I'm doing all my research too and seeing all these women. It's like the things that she went through. She only has one country album, Linda Martell. One album.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was, you know, I don't know what year that was, but to be here now in 24 and see someone as big as Beyoncé that does transcend genre and music style, whatever you think her sound is, whatever, she does everything. And to have this woman be like, wow, look how far we have come. And to be getting her recognition from Beyoncé.
Yeah.
Like, if you're on a Beyoncé track, whether you're talking or singing, like, you're good for a minute.
Yeah, you're being you're good and you're being Googled for like that at least those first couple weeks.
Yeah.
So can I tell you something that moved me a lot? So what is the track? There's so many that is technically a duet. Tyrant with Dolly Parton.
Yeah. With Dolly, because,
right? She's credited as a duet. Yeah. This happened with Renaissance. I don't know what it is about the Beyoncé magic, because it's magic. It's something higher than it's something spiritual. But on the Renaissance album, when someone is featured, even for 5 seconds, it feels like a duet.
Mm.
It feels like it's their song.
Well, she gives them the full space.
She gives them it. Like, so let's say T.S. Madison's feature on Renaissance is juicy. It's big. It's present. It's at the front. But there are so many others.
And Grace Jones.
Grace Jones is a perfect example. Grace Jones's feature is big, but it's not as punchy as T.S. Madison's, and yet it feels equally as big.
Yeah.
And Linda Martell, sure, could she have done a whole brand new song with Linda Martell? She could have. But Beyoncé knows how to feature someone and make them feel present in the album without necessarily having to do a song.
Yeah. And I feel like the three... Sorry,
not
to interrupt you.
Please.
In that vein, it's like I think of the three... kind of narration pop-ups in the album are Willie Nelson, Dolly, and Linda Martell. And it's like, everyone keeps saying how the album is very cinematic. And it is, because the Willie stuff is all radio station. And like, I like that he's like, he's kind of reading the girls.
He is reading the girls.
He's like, listen or don't. Change the channel or don't. And I love that as a country legend staple icon being like, listen to Beyonce or don't. And then you have Dolly, who it's like, Dolly has really only, I mean, and I could be speaking out of turn, but I think of now two legendary covers, Whitney mm-hmm. and Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that stamp is like, okay. Yeah. And then to bring it back to Linda, I like that there is a Black country voice in that, in her, you know, her ether of like, and now we're bringing it all together of like, because that moves into the, this is Beyonce country part of the album.
Correct.
Yes.
That's what moves us into like, what is genre?
Yeah.
What are we talking mm-hmm. about?
Like, yeah.
Why is that so important? And I wonder with Beyonce's statement of this isn't a country album, it's a Beyonce album, if that will change how she's categorized or how they'll award this album.
Are you, saying, are you saying that as she says that, is that something she's thinking about as doing it? Or are you wondering that as Donnell? Like, are you saying like, do you know what
both.
I'm saying? Okay.
So it's kind of like, so the Grammys with her, you know, recently it's very much like she will win the genre album award, but uh-huh. not album of the year.
Oh.
Like, so for Renaissance, she won dance album. You know, album. Right. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is she saying this isn't country? I don't want you to put me in that country category. Whatever it is, it's whatever. Because like she'll win the country, she'll win that one. But it's like saying it's not that. Is she's already stopping Ooh, that kind of like yeah. minimizing of how big it is?
You yes, know?
I wonder, see.
That's mm-hmm. really. I think. Well,
just that one sentence stuck out to me. I was like, oh, she plainly said. This is not a country album. It's a Beyonce album, but it is a country album.
That's like, a fun one to. I like.
She's going for the jugular.
Yeah, like that feels very her, and that feels like. Honestly, you're the first person to bring that up. Like, this is the kind of first in-depth conversation I have had about this, and so I'd be curious to see if other people picked up on what it is you picked up on. But yeah. that feels like I buy that. I buy that. That is just also like just the swag in it alone is like. Mm-hmm. Dripping.
Yeah. yeah. And if album of the year is about construction and the overall presentation, right? If it's about its entirety, I don't see how she's, in my opinion, it will be very difficult to find any suitable peers for this album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
uh-huh. Renaissance.
I have my thoughts. I'm not mentioning anyone else
of course,
in this
of
conversation,
course.
But there is just a thing of, I think a lot of those voters just won't listen to it or won't give it
mm-hmm.
whatever it deserves. Yeah. And that's, she doesn't need it. Like, it's whatever.
She doesn't. She doesn't.
It's not fair to
yeah.
Yeah.
look at the material and, you know.
It's April.
Yeah, we got 10 months, so we got a long time.
It's a long time. There are a lot of really good albums that could come out. You know what I mean? John Lennon yeah. could come back from the dead and release a whole, you know, a lot of things could happen.
I know. Okay? It's kind of, to me, but I think, like, how much
this ain't Texas.
Like, posting it, you know, kind of debuting your album so early on in the year, I wonder, I don't know if that's, like, such a good idea. I mean, obviously the album stays with us the longest, but like it, that feels far now that you mentioned that. And I think like, I wonder about doing yourself some favors and like kind of coming in with, I don't know, like more of a surprise attack closer to.
I think we have so much material though that this could last.
Yeah, no, I understand how like, it's like, you know what, this is a lot of reading. So take go, you know, for this is your summer reading, but you're getting a longer break. But when we come yeah. back, I'm gonna test you. Like I'm genuinely very mm-hmm. eager and curious to see how this plays out. But
yeah,
that
happens with the Tony Awards too.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly.
I always. Yeah. I fear for shows that open at the end of the summer, right yeah. after the Tony yeah. Awards have happened. It's like, baby, you better be good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I not to change the word, but I like a good October, November. a big juicy October splashy and November release.
Yes,
exactly. Yes. Everyone's at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
swiping right to left.
You watch it on the parade.
Day right before the nominations come out, and then
you want it April. You want a late April.
Yeah, and then maybe your star.
I'm too nervous for that.
Yeah, well, I lived that. I lived that with Leap of Faith, and we all thought
which
I was
one?
Leap of Faith.
Oh, it's too close. It's too close.
I like a
wicked October Halloween even.
I was like, because you can't always be Hamilton. You can't always be July.
No.
It's too soon.
You can't be.
But Beyonce's album, it is early. It is early. And I thought that even when we figured out the date, I was like, okay, this is soon. But I'm happy.
Absolutely.
I'm happy.
No. I'm happy as the listener. I'm thinking about on her team of just like, wow, we got 10 months. Yeah,
it's a long time. A lot can happen between now and then, you know. But we shall see. You know, something that is something that I read, and we'll get into some fun questions about the album in a minute too. But something that I read or that I have heard multiple white gays say, and can I just say something? I want to remove something from the vocabulary of white people in general, and it's the word banger. Banger, baby. If you don't, people don't stop saying it's a banger, it's a banger, bop after bop, bop after bop. Please take out bops. That's more of a gay thing. Please take out bops and bangers. It's a bop. Every album, it's a bop. It's a bop. It happened. Yeah. So the criticism that I've heard from the white gays has been, I really like the album. It's really cool. But like, where are the bops? I could have used a few more bops.
What does that mean exactly?
They want an up-tempo that they can take a bump of ketamine to and lose their mind at a bar somewhere between here and Long Island. That is what they're looking for. And I want to tell them, if you want a bop, go to soundcloud.com, put in DJ Nacho Chapado, live from Madrid, 2009, and get your damn life.
Yes.
Ariana Grande and Beyonce are not here to just deliver music, music with your white tasteless, for your white tasteless palate. That's not their point. Listen to the album.
Dancing on My Own still hits. No Tears Left to Cry still hits. You're good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Every project doesn't need to be that. And before we started recording, we were saying, even with this album, like, I'm dancing in a different way.
Of course. It's
this ain't dicks.
Woo! But like, what song is it? Oh, Riverdance.
Riverdance.
Okay. Bounce on the shit. Damn.
Okay. Okay. We have to get into our top threes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go into our top threes.
Okay.
Okay. Our top three songs.
Donnell, you're our special guest. You go first. And then I'll change mine because I want to see what taste really is. And then I'm going to change my answers. No, I'm kidding.
And this is going to change by Wednesday.
Exactly.
This is today's three faves. First one that came to my mind was Bodyguard.
I like it. Yep.
I love Bodyguard. It gives me, you know what it gives me? Because on the track list, it gives me Bodyguard, Dolly P, Jolene, right?
Yes,
and
it's nice.
Beyonce said that when she was recording the album, she was watching movies and listening to country stuff. And I was like, this is the Kevin Costner Whitney scene in the Bodyguard where they're at the bar. That's what I got.
And I'm crying.
I'm crying. That's what that gives me. And it gives people, someone was like, it also gives me in a different way. I always say Cuff It gives me cookout, family reunion, barbecue. Yes. This also gives me that, but just like 6 p.m., 7 p.m.
Yeah.
We've all had a drink. We had a drink. We're not as hype, but we're still in this setting.
Yeah.
It gives me that. It gives me hug. But there's also something about it. There's also something, the way it starts.
Okay.
I don't know the melody off the top of my head, but it gives me Smooth by Santana vibes.
Ooh. Hold on. Let's just, you know, we can, hold on, everybody.
In the back seat. In the back beat. Like, it gives that.
Yes.
I see sunset.
little Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, yes, it's got a very 90s, 2000s.
Santa Monica Boulevard, baby.
Yes.
Until the sun does come up on it.
Oh my God, it totally. In the moon. What's
Rob Thomas and Santana.
Yes, yes.
We love it.
That's a fave of mine. So my next fave.
Okay.
And to quote The Voice, Whitney Houston, weddings, funerals, graduations.
Oh. I'm gonna punch you in the mouth. Oh my God, I'm gonna punch you in the mouth.
Say it for me.
Okay. I'm already biased because one of my good friends is Miley's manager. So I've just heard a lot about the process of this song, and I was so hoping that it made the album because, you know, with Beyonce, you never know.
Yeah.
You record, you send something, you don't know.
Oh, is that the case? You don't know?
Yeah. You never know. Okay, I didn't know that. You don't know until it comes out. So it's like, I was hoping, you know, just like, because that duo is iconic.
Yes.
And then listening to it, and I was like, their voices are so different, and they sound so good together.
Ugh.
And the story is best friends, mom and daughter, first dance, like that ride or die.
Anybody
that's your person. That's all, like, that's one of my favorites. Like, whoa.
And that's, and that's just lyrically, like, but tune wise, it's so pleasing to the ear. Like, you hear it once and you go, I know what that tune is.
Yes.
It sounds like a tune. Like, that's when you,
yes,
it makes you want to sing something you just learned, but you feel like you already know.
And think about Beyonce. Her voice. First of all, like, Miley Cyrus' voice is insane.
I love her so much.
There's something about Beyonce's voice that it's like, it's just so comfortable and familiar to me, I think, because I said she's a lifetime artist, that it's like the song starts with Miley. And we're so young. And then we get, oh, your face. And it's like, yes.
Mother.
Yes. I love it. So that's my number two.
Uh-huh.
My number three. Okay, I'm going to cheat. Because when it comes to Beyonce, there's sequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to think of one song. So right now I'm stuck in Desert Eagle into Riverdance into Two Hands to Heaven.
It's extraordinary. Giving the transitional, like, combustion orgasm that I felt on Renaissance when we go from, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like heated energy.
Yeah, like plastic, yes. Virgo move, heat, like that, like.
For me, yes, her transitions are some of the most satisfying things to listen to. And they are sometimes what I love and hate is that some of that music stays at, like, maybe the top third of the song. And then you feel like, you know, and she does a great job of this, is she makes a song sound like there are six inside one song, which I love. But then sometimes you're like, wait, I really want to hear more of that.
I want more of that one.
Oh my God.
I Desert Eagle, I love it. To me, it's like, you know, it's giving me tour interlude moment. Uh-huh. It's not long enough for me. I want it to be a full song, you know, for like a minute and a half.
It needs to be a full song. It's exquisite.
But then Riverdance, like
Riverdance.
Dance.
Two
because
Hands
that's Beyonce's like country.
If that SpongeBob gif or the meme of SpongeBob ascending in the it's like, that is what I feel when I hear Two Hands to Heaven.
Wait, hold on. Let's just experience this together. So I'm going to give you the end of Riverdance. God, the beginning is so good. Well, so this is beginning.
Dance.
This is Nicole Kidman leaving her divorce court, her divorce proceedings with Tom Cruise.
Dance. It's just, hold on, let's, and then when the beat comes in.
Dance. Pounce on it.
Ooh. Okay, so that's where we begin, which is so just like.
Come on, these harmonies?
Yeah. Coachella, like sunsets.
Mm-hmm.
Stagecoach.
But then.
We're lifting.
Okay, I have something to say. It's so funny because I don't know all the names yet, and then this and that. And so I'm just like, okay, but I wrote Donnell. I have good taste. I passed the test. But that beginning intro from for Two Hands to Heaven was giving me, and I don't know if she knows she's doing this or whatever, but it was so like Postal Service. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Postal Service.
Oh my God, of course. It's very Postal Service.
It just has that, like, that, and then I just
see it. You see it, you feel it. It's just like, I just see it. It's just everything else is open. It's like, iridescent light. Like, it's just like, and she's just standing there, and you're, it's just, it is cinematic. It's like,
it is. It's a production.
The way she decorates time with music is, it's so beautiful to me. It's like, always unexpected, never a letdown, and makes me truly like very grateful about the, like, in the moment of listening to music, she always kind of like, she gets me hooked in on this like ride vibration thing, and it like truly changes, it changes like my vibration.
Yeah.
It puts me in such a, in this very, and I know this is going to sound kind of cheesy, but like, she puts me in a very like grateful state because I'm amazed by what I'm listening to. And there's something very satisfying at the same time in the new thing I'm listening. And I feel very at peace. Like
it's just like the power of art.
Yes. Very,
like, that's what it's supposed to do. It's like when you go to a museum and you look at a painting or sculpture and it just like makes you like stop.
Yes.
Because it's also, with her celebrity, we stop and listen when it comes out.
Oh my God.
Yes.
She gets our undivided attention.
She got the whole world's attention on that day.
So it's like, it does open something else. It's like, I'm done with my three. Okay. I'll let you. Yeah.
Wait, hold on one second. Not to interrupt. For some reason, I lost audio for a second, but I think we're back now. Can I hear you guys?
Yes.
Okay. Now I can. It was just a second. So Ian, what are yours?
Okay. So second I pressed play, I was extremely moved and blown away by American Requiem. I just think like the production, the harmonies, and just the bigness, the fullness of like the beginning 30 seconds, 45 seconds. And then I wrote this down. It's just got when she goes into there's a lot of talking going on while I sing my song. Like, once we get into kind of like Donna, what you were saying about how the album you hear as three different kind of sets, or like three different discs, right? I sometimes hear her songs like that. And I know we all do, because they very much change. But there's that section where we start, and it's kind of like I compare it to how it must have felt, like Bernstein's Mass, this like moment, this like opus of just like the biggest sound you can make, all these harmonies. Like, I'm really putting it all, and it's just, it is amazing. And so then it's that switch.
I've been comparing that.
What?
I've been comparing American Requiem to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Another big, yes.
Fullness.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Like the artist's sort of the orgasm of that artist, you know, like, like they've been edging forever and we thought we were getting stuff, but no, they were just pre-coming this whole time.
Yes. I was saying though, after I heard, you know, when I finished American Requiem, my first thoughts, I texted everyone, what did I say? I was like, I love country. Trump 2024. I'm moving to Nashville. Nashville.
Yeah.
I am going back to get my master's in agricultural engineering. I'm returning to the land.
Yeah.
I love America.
Yes.
I mean, that if that song doesn't make you love America, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
It's...
And I cried.
Yeah.
And I cried immediately.
Yeah. It's
wonderful.
On my like second or third listen is when tears started coming out because of some of the lyrics that I'm going to go into now. But this is like a like middle section, but I just love the Dolly intro into Jolene.
I love it too. I love it too.
Yeah. It's the
way.
Hey,
where are you going to be? It's Dolly Pete.
It's just.
You know that hussy with the good hair?
And
it's too good.
And she says, bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
But it hurts just the same.
And then I hit when we get the Jolene.
Yeah,
Jolene.
Yes,
that's what I mean. Outside the house, like, bitch, come outside.
Yeah, cash me. It's so good. It's just, again, the word is truly like satisfying. You listen to it, and also Jolene is it's a testament to, again, a song you listen to and you go, wow, I did not know a song could be as perfect as the song Jolene is. You know what I mean? It's just such a perfect song.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that.
Everything about it is like how... There's just, I don't know any other way that that song could have gone. Yeah. And I'm just so happy they made it. I wrote down, I love Bodyguard. but a new one today that really, like, I started crying when I listened to it. Cause I was like, she is revisiting, or like, I think on her, it's like in the third section, but it's Levi Jeans.
Yes.
And oh, I love Levi Jeans.
I love Levi Jeans. And I'm going to tell you, so here, hold on. I'm going to find, because I just love this lyric. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Boy, I'll let you be my Levi's jeans so you can hug that ass all day long. And like just reading it, you're like, okay. But the vibe and what she's, how she's singing, it's so, it's actually so sweet and kind of like tender. And like it is. And I think it has, it's, I'm connected to it because like I am kind of like seeking deep and meaningful love right now. And like I am appreciating what that can be. And so to have a song that is kind of, that so simply puts what it is we all want in a way, and is just, it, she just did such a good job, you know?
You know really what I is. See? Go with me. I know they're wearing leather, but it kind of gives me like, you're the one that I want, Grease vibes. Like,
okay. Well, yes, there like, is. There is a joyousness.
When you say they're wearing leather, you're just saying.
In, like in Grease, they're wearing leather, not wearing
denim. Oh, I see.
Like, but it gives me that, yeah, that love that like, I'm just going to be wrapped around you.
Yes.
Agreed. That's exactly, and that's what this album is evocative of, so many things. That's why it's very satisfying, because you're in one track and it makes you feel like you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, there are moments when, there are even moments when, like in Two Most Wanted, where there's a Taylor Swiftian feel, there's almost like a Fearless feel to that. Mm-hmm. And then there are moments when it doesn't feel quite like Shania, but I feel like there's a of an alternative country pop singer there too.
Wait, you know what I mean? There's song? Just
like a, I feel it mostly in Riverdance, and I would say parts of Yaya.
Oh,
where there's like a Shania-esque.
Yaya, for sure. What's the one, again, we're all learning together, guys, because she's dense and it's an encyclopedia. So we're, you know, bear with us, but also we're doing a really good job. But I have a question. What is the one, because I forgot, this is a fierce section. So I'm making it, I guess, my fourth, but it's where she gives me good fucking vibrations into Dusty Springfield.
That's Yaya.
Okay, great.
So
into
that leads me
Sinatra, and then the like.
That's fantastic. That leads me so perfectly, sets me up for my list, because my number one song on the album, and because it's so on the nose, and it's Yaya. Because I'll tell you why I love Yaya. A thing that I look for in an album, and it's not because I wanted a banger, because it kind of is a banger. It's not that I wanted a banger. Something I look for in an album is, what is the song that opens your Las Vegas?
Oh, when I tell you, we'll win that.
What is the song that does that for you?
We're going full Mackie. We're getting back in the flame dress.
Yes.
We're going like.
Yes, because you know, it's like, you've got to have that song. Like, this is totally tangential, but you'll just get it. Like, my dream on earth is for Paula Abdul to have her own like headlining moment in Las Vegas, and you hear, hey baby, gotta remember, and then you need to
head down.
Exactly, boom, and then we see Paula. You gotta have that track.
We see Paula.
We may not use it, but we have to have that track. And Yaya is that epic Beyonce.
Oh,
stage right to stage left, every inch of the amphitheater is involved moment. So I love it for that.
Can I jump in 1 second?
Please, forever.
Because you know what that gives me? If we're gonna do tour fantasies.
Yes.
Because this is the thing. It's like, when I hear these songs, I'm like, yeah, great. So now I need Why Don't You Love Me? I need Sugar Mama. Like, we got it, like.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, that's what I, like, because now I'm like,
baby, I just have to say, this is why it is such a treat to have you on, because I'm so happy the world is getting to understand your brain and how good of a creative director you are in the make, like you're.
That's all I think about. I'm like, when I hear this, I'm like, okay, now we have all this other material.
Yeah.
Great. How are we going to, I'm going to let Juan go back, but let's go back. Remind me to talk about The Gift. and Cowboy Carter.
Okay.
The Lion King album and Roots.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 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 Yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Thoughts. I have thoughts about this.
What did you do right now?
Okay. I just,
my number two ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. So when I was reading stuff about Cowboy Carter and was it 16 Carriages? That has the banjo in it?
Yep.
And they were saying that banjo is an African instrument that made its way to the South. And I was like, she's such a, you know, history nerd like me and all that, that it's like, I could also see if we get a tour, if we get a, you know, Sphere residency, whatever it is, if we're doing like we're going from the motherland to American South. And this is the sounds, and this is how it transferred. Like, because besides, you know, My Power and Black Parade, she hasn't done any of the songs from The Gift on tour. And those are some of my favorite.
Same.
Like,
same.
Bigger, Other Side, like
Water,
Brown Skin Girl, Water.
Beautiful songs.
And I would love to see how she just does that education.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Well, interestingly enough, we still have an act. We have Act Three to also, so that's going to be really interesting because you know, like, God, I forgot. I literally just forgot that we're still expecting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not only expecting, it's on the way.
Yeah.
I'm probably, sure it's done.
It's sure it's done. Exactly. Yeah.
I have thoughts about that. But number two, go on.
Yeah. So my number two is an ode to, it's led by Desert Eagle, but it's an ode to the interludes. I'm going to tell you why. Because this is an album. This is continuing my thoughts on the, I need a banger. No, baby. This is about a whole complete picture that she is allowing us to see, right? We don't even have a visual, and yet it is a visual album.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And those interludes are so important. They allow for us to connect the different songs. They're more than bridges. They're kind of like veins. The blood runs from one song to the next.
Yes.
And I bring this up because in Desert Eagle is my favorite one of all. I mean, even the Jolene, pre-Jolene, Dolly Jolene functions as this. I had a very interesting, intense sexual experience this weekend with an experienced Dom, okay? Was giving Dom sub when he was Dom. And
yeah, that wasn't Dame with an accent for anyone.
Dominant. With a very dominant man. And he put me through things I have never done in my entire life. Okay, I'm going to leave it at there. We're going to probably talk about it on a future pod. But one thing, you know, and I've heard about with like an experienced Dom is they know about breaks. They know when to do them. And they know about aftercare. Right. Which is so like after it's done, making you feel like the scene is over. Right. The role play is done.
Yes. Yeah.
And now you can like each other as humans again. Right. Or you can just kind of relate to each other on a smaller level. And these interludes kind of serve to me as kind of after and pre-care for these other songs that it sets up. Sometimes it's just a break. And so I think you have this have the Desert Eagle kind of get us in a new headspace before we take off again.
Yes.
It's so important. I love that. And then my number three is, I'm going to piggyback on Donnell's, and it's Two Most Wanted. I love weddings. And this is like the best wedding song ever. It's kind of what Shallow really wants to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It's Shallow's drunk daddy. Shallow is
the drunk dad.
The daddy.
Yes, exactly.
Two Most Wanted. Yeah.
Yes. Two Most Wanted's drunk daddy is Shallow. Okay. Yeah. Shallow is that daddy that left early. It's kind of, it describes
someone passing
the kind
of the mic and he really shouldn't have had it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to let it go. Shallow has, it's a beautiful love song, but people sing it at weddings. Do you know that?
Yeah.
They don't do it for their first dance, but they use it at weddings because the song evokes what Two Most Wanted does.
Yeah,
it feels like that grand American celebration of love, like, you know, and it's just such a great
Louise,
track.
Baby.
It doesn't get better than that. It's so accessible.
Iconic pairings, iconic best friends. It's like, first time I played it. So when the album came out, because I have to have like a very intense sonic experience the first time I listen to something.
Yes.
So I just sit in the car and play it all the way up.
Oh, okay.
And so I just sat literally in the dark outside of my house in my car with the volume up. And me and Joshua were listening to it. And I was like, "This, we're going to hear this forever."
Mm.
Like,
this I hope
song
so.
It's going to be everywhere. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm happy everyone, and I say everyone, that the audience of this album is very big.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more people than the average Beyonce album, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the material is just so amazing that it's like, if you're late and just jumping in, it's fine. But like, come on, listen to like, these songs are, they're so amazing that you can't deny any of her ability. And it's like them together. It also gives me like, Beyonce is so free on this album. I feel like with American Requiem and Two Most Wanted, her vocals are like unbridled, excuse the pun, but you know, yes. I mean, like in a different way, like her top harmony on Two Most Wanted, like she's wailing.
It's amazing.
Wailing.
It just, it's free. And like American Requiem, when she's like the, all the look at airs, I'm like,
yeah, like, yeah.
It's so like fun and like, yeah, it's not so confined.
Yeah.
It's just like,
but then, like, Caro Mio Ben is
oh god,
in
we haven't even gotten into. I mean,
daughter's
a spectacular.
That's the
track.
One the girls are talking about.
Really? Like, wait, I need a refresher. I need a refresher on daughter. Give me 2 seconds.
That one to me is very
ooh, it's just the beat. It's the beginnings of things. It's the hearing. It's the I just love that. Like, I love that we're hearing guitar more than ever. And something about it feels very like LOL, but like this, grassrootsy.
Yeah. Daughter gives me the seriousness that we give Adele.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes.
It gives me that, like, it's just heavy. You know, it's like, we're sitting into this moment.
I think actually that's why I don't remember it off the top so quickly, is because I have a feeling I listen to it and I like parts about it, but sometimes the heaviness that I think you're talking about, I take a while to get around to that. Like not that I don't want to access it or that there's, it's like bad, but like, I think I'm jumping to where my ear wants truly satisfying, like either the way Two Most Wanted just really like is so audibly satisfying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what, I'm excited
what I like
to,
about, oh, sorry, not trying to cut you off. I didn't mean to.
No, I'm just saying like, I'm excited to really delve deep. It'd be interesting if we did like, you know, in a few months, like a check-in about this, and like maybe we had Johnny here at the same time and like we could discuss like our new findings in this, in this album.
Yeah, it's just going to develop.
Because like what I love about Daughter is that Daughter for me is a lyrically driven song. That's an actress's song.
Mm.
Yeah. I separated the lyric for this because to me, like this lyric, I mean, doesn't get better than this. They keep saying that I ain't nothing like my father, but I'm the furthest thing from choir boys and altars. If you cross me, choir boys, altars, if you cross me, I'm just like my father. I'm colder than Titanic water. I'm sorry. That's a poem. I'm sorry. That's poetry. That is beautifully executed language. Use of language, AP level, 401, yes. Advanced studies, PhD, doctorate in education and poetry, teaches Cornell University, Columbia University, Princeton University, Stanford, Ivy League, Oxford, you know, Barack Obama, law school, Michelle Obama, perfect level use of language. I'm sorry. That's just how you use language.
Speaking of lyrics, the Titanic water one. There's a lyric in Texas Hold'em. Let me pull it up. So the lyric I'm thinking of is, there's a heat wave coming at us, too hot to think straight, too cold to panic. Come on, global warming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speak about
Come
it.
Come on, global you know,
it's like
warming.
The complacency just of like, in the two different levels, hot and cold, of like, no, the lyricism, like, you know, also the collaborators, everyone, it's like everyone put their foot in this.
And they did. And to come from, sometimes I feel like I live in Grand Central Station is a.
You know
is
how I feel about that lyric.
I actually,
that's probably my least favorite.
You know
Beyonce
what? I don't know. Maybe you've told me, and we've probably had a very passionate, like stoned conversation about it in California, but the listeners need to hear it. Because I have thoughts about that lyric.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny that you say this? And I'm gonna say this out because I was acting a little earlier. I have a good friend, Jared, and we talk about Beyonce all the time. And we talk about our lyrics that we love and hate. He hates Titanic Water.
Same. So whenever I listen to it. I'm not going to lie, Juani. I had a moment where I listened. I said, and there she is. She's still there. The roots of her are still there.
I don't hate it. My friend does not like it. So whenever I hear it, it cracks me up.
That is so funny.
But I was like, I love that lyric.
It's poetry. I don't like Grand Central Station. I understand that.
I kind of like that lyric too.
The scansion is correct. It scans properly. Uh-huh. I just don't get the metaphor of a busy phone line in Grand Central Station. I don't get that.
Yeah, you're really going down to the true brass tacks of it. And to me, it's more
like
that.
You feel like you're in a busy area.
People are coming and going.
No, I get it. No, I understand. But to me, it's the sound of, sometimes I feel like I live in Grand Central Station. Like, it just feels, it's something, it doesn't sound as poetic as you're making Titanic Water out to be. Like, I think everything leading up to that is like, I get you because I thought it, and then all that stuck out was Titanic Water, and
I'm gonna die on the hill of that. It's so evocative.
And I was like, you immediately
have a sense of what it means.
Absolutely. Well,
I see Jack
sure.
and Rose on the door. I got it.
Exactly. It made me laugh a little bit. I was like, Titanic Water. I don't know. I just thought I judged it quickly and it made me laugh. Yeah. And I just thought, because it stood out like Titanic Water. Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, it's cold.
Well, also,
it's cold.
That's not really a phrase.
Exactly.
Yeah, but really, why it's poetry. Yes, that's why I didn't say it's a beautifully crafted sentence.
It's a beautiful lyric.
I love
my favorite from, but my favorite from that is the marijuana smoke smell in my hair. That's my
great
lyric from
correct.
I love, because I know. Listen, I don't got no hair, but I know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. But I also like lyrics like in Taylor Swift's. Sometimes I feel like I'm a baby and a monster.
A sexy baby.
Yeah. See, I love that lyric too, because it's like so disturbed. It's so, it just doesn't even make, like, why would anyone say those words? What is the lyric? Yeah. Sometimes I feel like
I'm a monster, a sexy baby.
And I'm a monster in a hill or on the tree. Doesn't matter regardless. But that's what I like, those kinds of punchy lyrics. Neither am I. What is your favorite lyric? Do you have one, Ian? One that stands out to you that you love?
I think from what I learned, it was the way Levi Jean made me feel, you know, and like, mm-hmm. yeah. And every time, you know, just what to do. No one ever got me going quite like you, baby. Let me rattle that snake with my venom, denim on denim on denim on denim. Like, it's just,
it's great.
It's great. Yeah, there's like, I don't really have.
It's perfect.
It's yeah. I don't have notes. And by the way, I wasn't like, I don't hate Titanic Water. I just, when I heard it, had a really like nice chuckle to myself
moment.
Because I do have friends that I have discussed her, the sort of simpleness of her lyrics sometimes about like Grand Central Station or whatever, and how funny they are because they're just so like, I don't know Beyonce, but if that's how she talks, then it's accurate. Then it's authentic. And yeah. I'm coming from someone who has his own way that he like bizarrely describes the world sometimes. And I put words together and you're like, what was that? What was that? I appreciate that she does write poetry like this. Like it's just so, is the word indicative of Beyonce? Is that the right word?
Indicative. What are you trying to say? That it's indicative of her talent. It's indicative
of like her
her zhuzh,
her vibe. Like it to me feels like if Titanic. Here we go. Grand Central Station had to be born in order for Titanic Water to be alive. Does that make sense? Like we needed Grand Central Station.
One had to run. One had to walk so the other could run.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
I see what you mean. I like that Grand Central Station lyric, and I'm going to stand by Titanic Water.
I'm not saying she should have redlined it at all. I'm just saying it stuck out and there's a chuckle and it's, you know.
Yeah, it is different. It kind of cuts through. One of the lyric I love, and I have to acknowledge it because I think it speaks to Beyonce making country music and this country album when it's really an American album. With the lyric in Two Most Wanted, I'll be your shotgun rider till the day I die.
first of all, cars driving, so American. Yes. Smoking out the window, flying down the 405. Down the 405. And I just love how, like, this is the most country Nashville Memphis song. And it's like, down the 405 on the way to Erewhon.
Yeah.
I love it. LA girls.
I love it. Two LA girls.
Yes.
Yeah. I just love it. And I also love that they definitely, you know, and choosing Miley
when
Juan
gets quiet and he's like, you know, it's interesting. Like, here we give it to us. Give it to
us.
And
I just love that they chose Miley because, you know, they had to run down. There got to be one true country collaboration.
Ooh.
And they were like, is it going to be Kacey Musgraves? Not famous enough. Is it going to be Taylor Swift? No, there's too much baggage.
I don't think I would like it.
Mm-mm. Is it going to be Morgan?
Or just, yeah. I don't know.
Carrie Underwood. Yeah. Who is it going to be? And it's like, Miley's the perfect choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And already the
trajectory, the moment we're in right now, like,
yeah,
post Flowers, post Grammys, like, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And Black people love Miley.
Yes. Yes.
Black people love Miley and
we
say she
bangers
loves them.
We're talking about Miley's album.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's the only banger that I want to talk about. And it's the one with the Z at the end of it.
I'm going to have to take a jump. Speaking of Miss Carrie Underwood,
sure.
Going on that tangent, mm-hmm. You know who's going to sing the shit out of these songs?
Oh,
Kelly
Clarkson.
Is going to murder.
Oh my God.
My jaw is tight at the notion of that.
Oh my God.
I've seen a month of Kelly-oki that's just Cowboy Carter. That's it.
Yeah.
Just do every song.
Oh, how does that girl sing so well?
She is truly one of my favorite voices.
She's a beast.
It's insane. It's insane.
She is a beast. Oh, yeah. She's getting really into herself.
I might be late. Has she done, like,
I don't
16
think
carriages?
So.
Like, she, like...
I don't think so. Wait, maybe. I don't think so. We'll ask production and they can add it in later.
Exactly. Our league of
producers. But if you had to choose... Yeah, exactly. If you had to choose a track for our dear Kelly to sing, what would it be?
Well, I mean, now I want to say Daughter, because I want to give me a full... five-minute mm-hmm. moment.
Okay.
16 carriages.
And give her the Italian, because, you know, she would eat that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to, because I don't want a duet. Like, you know, I want her to do a solo.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two. Yeah, I think Daughter or, what did I say? Or she can wrap spaghetti.
Yeah.
Whatever Kelly wants to do.
But now that she's on her little weight loss journey, she's been doing her cardio, I'm sure. She could eat yaya.
She could do yaya. Yeah, like, she could do yaya.
Put on a little boot. Do it there.
Oh my God.
On the sound stage.
Yes.
You know, it is really interesting that it's been what, like, 4 days since it's come out. And like, I don't know what I would want Kelly Clarkson to sing, because I don't know this album the way that, like, I could really say. And that is so fierce in a way to be like, we know what we're talking about, but there's just so much of it that I have to. I have to keep going and I have to keep listening and I want to know it all. You know what I mean? But
question.
Yes.
Have you listened? So speaking of the acts and about act three coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Various rumors about genre again, you know, speaking of genre. But she said, act two was supposed to be first. She said Cowboy Carter was supposed to be before Renaissance.
Oh.
But we were in a pandemic in the house. She said, let's dance, let's party, let's have a great time. So I've listened to act two first into Renaissance, which is a full moment, because it's just like, what are we even doing? But now act three, everyone's saying rock, because, you know, the whole the thesis of this three-act project was reclaiming Black genres and music.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, but does that come after Renaissance? Is that before? Is it between? Is it, what do you think sonically? And like, where, how do you think act one and act two, listenable, like listening wise, how do you feel back to back? Which way would you do it?
I would kind of, I feel like I will want rock to actually be third. I kind of want it to sit in its place out of the, if we were to put country first, go into Renaissance, and then kind of end with any modern angst, right? That she can the album doesn't have to be a celebration of anything.
Yeah.
That it can just be
a
meditation on America and a little bit more political, have a little bit of a Lemonadian grit.
Same. Like, you know, would she be going like, oh my God, the first person that pops into my head is like Bruce Springsteen. And just like the collabs, as if you will, yeah. Oh, alone.
My dream is Hayley Williams from Paramore.
Wow.
Has to be on it.
Oh, see, wow. And that's what's so fun is like rock can mean so much because yeah. We can go classic rock, like, you know, like, oh my God, I'm blanking, but like, or just, you know, Bruce Springsteen, it's like Billy Joel, yeah. But then you're going like that route.
I was going Haley, I was going Willow Smith.
Yes. Like, oh shit.
You know, like.
Endless possibilities with her.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Endless.
Speaking of endless possibilities, I know we're going to make a quick little jump here, but like, we have a spilled milk to discuss.
Oh, we have to. And we have to get Donald James Foreman's take on this.
So we'll be right back and we will get right to it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We took a little break. We are so happy to... Donnell James Foreman is still here with us.
Hello.
Ian is here. Say hello.
Hello, hello.
And Juan here. So this Spilled Milk, you know, is one of our segments we've been doing from the very beginning, and we're excited to have a new voice on it to get your take on this, because this Spilled Milk was left over. It was spilt last week, and we didn't have time to get to it.
We didn't clean it up yet.
But it's so juicy, okay? I'm going to name him Chris, because otherwise you could go into my followers and figure who this person is out.
Okay.
Okay. Chris wrote in saying, I hate my roommate, but we regularly have sex and it's really good. What should I do?
And then
that was the whole question.
Okay. I love how that's the whole thing.
Yeah. And at the end of the last week's episode, I said, we're going to reach out and ask some follow-ups, which we never do. But let's get some follow-ups, because there's more to know. And so Donnell and Ian put this together, and this is what we asked him. Okay, what exactly do they hate about their roommate, and mm-hmm. how does that hatred lead to them having sex? Is it drunken? Is it boredom? Like, what is really going on here?
What is the ritual around it?
Exactly. So I reached back out, and Chris gave me a very succinct answer, and he says... He is just terrible to live with. Noisy, dirty, no respect. I work from home and he makes it really hard to do so. I'm sorry, I had to laugh. But he has the best dick I've ever seen. And I think the sex is as good as it's going to get for me. It's the best sex I'm ever going to have.
Okay.
Okay.
So, okay.
This is a lot. Here's what is really interesting. I haven't had either of you ever slept or messed around with a roommate.
We've
had roommates.
Yes.
I've either had a roommate in school or I've lived with a partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had a roommate that I wasn't with. So
I've hooked up with someone I roomed with on Fire Island 1 week, you know, for a weekend.
Okay, but that's a little bit different.
Yeah,
that's
of
a little bit
I'm
different.
Just yeah.
You know,
I just have questions. I feel like Chris, I feel like the writer is living, they're coming from a place of scarcity, first of all, because this is not the best dick you're ever going to get in your life.
Like, correct.
Let's just all get on the same page about that.
Yeah.
Like, girl, stop.
Chris is cute too. I'm going to send you all a picture, Chris.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure it's not the best. I just don't really understand the emotional switch, because if someone bothers me all day, it annoys me all day, I don't want to sleep with them.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand how that happens, or if it's just like, does the roommate just come into the room and it's like, what's good? Let's hit it right quick.
Yes.
And you just kind of forget about the entire day of
is everything.
Is it giving the top energy that Juan experienced this weekend?
Yes, perhaps. I think that's part of it. This, from that second response, I'm going to add a lot of value to it.
Okay.
But Chris writes, he is just terrible to live with, noisy, dirty, no respect. I refer home and he makes it really hard. That seems like someone who's an alpha. Mm-hmm. Those are not passive problems. Yeah. Like, oh, he doesn't pay his rent on time. He's like really quiet and I can't communicate with him. He's like loud.
Yeah,
this man seems like he owns the room when he is in it.
Yeah.
Right? This person. So I feel like there is a bossiness, probably. There is a like, wait, come over here.
That's
like,
attractive.
At the end of the night. That's attractive.
Yeah.
He might be even using it to keep him in the housing situation. Do you know what I mean? To kind of like to kind of keep him happy if there's any complaints. And he knows what he's got. Obviously, he's got... Listen, it may not be the best that Chris is ever going to get, but it's probably not bad. If he's saying it's the best, it's probably good.
It is probably
good. And to have it as available quicker than room service?
Yeah.
I mean, well, that is on demand.
In-house D.
And Donnell brought up something really interesting. He said, where does he live? And so I went back and asked to confirm, and it's in the Bay Area. It's in San Francisco. So housing is not only very, very expensive, there's low inventory. It's difficult to find places, full stop, even if you have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not like Google money, but like a lot of money, you know?
And that's the part that I'm like, I get the compartmentalization, is that the word?
Compartmentalizing.
I'm in this situation that I don't necessarily love, but I also live in a very expensive place and I have sex in the house. So half the rent might be worth it. I think that when you're dating someone, you will let more things slide than if you were not. So that's why I'm just kind of like, how do you put up with this if you're not even with this person?
Because the risk is, you know, if I bring this up, that's, I guess, I'm thinking about it, like, why would you not bring it up to them and be like, hey, so I would really appreciate from a roommate standpoint if you could do these things for me. I would love to know if he's already brought this up before and he just hasn't, you know, there's been no moving of the needle there for that.
Yeah.
And because maybe if he brings it up, there's no more D.
Well, but that's, sure.
It's worth losing it.
Exactly.
I think it's worth losing it.
You're not fucking every hour, minute of the day. You're living
He works from home, he says.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's say that he is able to, you give him the notes and maybe it's not a 100% change. Like you're not going to marry the guy, but he's a little bit better. Maybe that makes it manageable.
Yeah. And that makes it manageable. There's a world where you giving him that note actually kind of like pisses him off. And then he's like, okay, like whatever. Like no one loves getting notes, especially in the home or something. But then maybe it is actually an aphrodisiac for him. And then you end up getting better dick is a possibility. You could get no dick, but you could also get really much better
dick. That's very interesting.
I do have a question. You know, if Chris writes in next week and you have a follow up, I want to know how we got in the situation also.
Yeah. I want to know the first time the sex happened.
Were we random hookups and then we ended up hanging out and say, oh, I need a roommate, move in? Yeah. Were you just roommates first and then sex happened?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the case. It is roommates first. I empathize with the wanting the ease. Do you know what I mean? It's harder here in these apps, the this, the that. What am I doing? What am I not doing? Spending 3 hours trying to find someone to hook up with. No one comes over. They cancel on you. You get ready. It's a big rigmarole. That's why people want to be in a relationship. They want to be in a real relationship so they can have someone to have sex with and they can open it and also have sex with other people. So that's what they really want to do. But I really see why it could work. And if you work a lot and it's nice to have like someone who you can be intimate with, but it may, and listen, maybe you hate living with them. Maybe you don't live with them, but you can still dial M for murder. You can still, you know, come over whenever you like.
Phone a friend.
Well, and my question is, you know, I like to give everyone grace and the benefit of the doubt.
Same.
Sure, but I also don't know, have these things ever been discussed?
That's what I've asked.
Is it all just inside? He's dirty. He's loud. He blah, blah. But if you haven't said it yet, we don't really know.
Exactly.
You know, like, because I get a lot of it is keeping the peace, especially sharing an apartment. But it's like, you still are paying half.
Correct.
Yeah. So you have to be brave.
Mm-hmm. You have to, you should. If it hasn't been broached, you definitely have to.
Yeah.
If it has, that's a different conversation, because then it's like your requests are being ignored, and that's a different.
That is. Can you give me the language around the first, what did he say? He's like, I have a roommate I hate, and I
very simply, I hate my roommate, but we regularly have sex. We regularly have sex, and it's really good. What should I do?
Okay. So without painting too much of a dramatic picture, if we're just going by like the words he said, he's like, okay, like, and this is a person who's like, oh, this would be so fun to get, like, you know, this legit, like, really, let's be this person. They're like, I love this podcast. There's this ridiculous kind of like thing I'm in with my roommate. So like, let's type this out. And you're like, okay, so I hate my roommate. He's super blah 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 all this stuff. stuff, but he's got really, like, we have really good sex. Like, it's maybe not as deep as we're making it, right? Like what if it's just as...
I just feel like hate is a strong thing.
Hate is a strong thing. I think the implication is you, like, should I stay or should I go?
Oh, see.
But, you know, I always, this is something I always used to, I love, Ian's going to get mad at me. I always bring him up because I talk about him every day, Dan Savage. And I love the Savage Love cast.
No, I love that you love Dan.
Yeah, I love him so much. And so often he doesn't really know all the circumstances. So he kind of gives like a plan A and a plan B. If you have done this, if he has said, if you have spoken to him and he's not answering or he's not hearing you, I should say, then you know what you need to do. You need to leave.
Yeah.
I just worry, not worry, because I don't know these people, but I just have the thought of, if you are allowing yourself to be in a situation where you hate someone, but regularly are intimate with them, I just don't really know the...
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really excellent point. And that is something that, something I hadn't thought of because I am damaged. You are really right. It's actually,
you know, I'm just kind of like,
not, it's actually not good for them doing that in general.
Even if it is like a dom sub play thing that they have,
even then,
it's like you said you hate this person and they make your everyday not good.
Harder.
But you get to get off. Okay.
Not worth it. There's a problem there. That's why it's, yes. Like,
you know? Yeah, there's other work that has to be done, Dano. I think that you're really getting to the greater, whether you stay, whether you go, whether you can afford to, whether you can't afford to, whether you have to stay there another 6 months, whatever happens, you need to figure it out why it is that you can have sex with someone who you really, really, really don't like.
And let's go even further. Why are you living with someone you hate?
Yeah, that's,
yeah. Because he doesn't say, I'm trapped.
Right.
You know, he doesn't be like, listen, I have a really hard situation. The advice he's looking for is like, what should I do? Like, I can't afford to leave, but I've talked to him. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's assume that this motherfucker's flush. Okay, that he's got money.
Yeah.
He works at LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
He's a programmer.
Get out!
He's
get
in out. His he got get it. Out. He's in his bag with his grandma light with pepper spray.
So if you get out, that don't mean you can't still have the good dick, but your every day is not being disturbed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Your life is, your day to day life is more important.
Yeah. The day. We
do too much to, this is something I am working on. I, Juan Torres Falcon, am really trying in 2024, moving forward, to be less accommodating around men that I'm dating. I'm not like outrageously, you know, I'm not a blind like dummy, right? I don't like let men take money from me and like let them abuse me in any way. But I just maybe
this weekend.
Oh yes, exactly, exactly. That was consensual of me. I'd have him back. Would I do it again? Yeah. So sorry, I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah, you are. You're flushed.
You flushed. My mouth is watering. So I've literally lost my train of thought. No, but I'm saying that, like, I'm trying to be less accommodating in general with men because you have to love yourself a little bit more to understand that whether you're just dating or this is someone you live with, that like the tomfoolery of being a homosexual and whether a man likes you, whether or not, if this were a cis woman with whom you did not want to have sex, would you tolerate this same?
Yeah.
No. And it's not like he has something that doesn't exist other places. This idea that, to Jonah's point, that he's the best sex you're ever going to have, you need to have more sex.
Yeah.
You're in San Francisco, baby.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
That's the breeding ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it really boils down to, are you asking so that you can try to keep the dick, or are you asking so that you can try to keep yourself? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so,
Oprah gift.
And it's true. It's like,
you mean?
And so, you know, really think about that, because this is also me talking to myself. It's like, how much of what we do, how much of what I do, how much as gay, as homosexual, is like, how much we're just trying to like keep the dick or get the dick. And it's like, the dick will always be there, but you need to just, first off, hurry up and come, just like handle it yourself and get back to business. Get rid of the dick brain.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'm, and as we've talked about all of that, I'm thinking about, maybe they're hanging out after work and they're watching movies,
right,
and smoking a little bit, drinking a little
bit. That's probably what's happening.
And that's what happens. But
that's what's
like,
happening.
It's not, I don't think it's worth it. It is not the best sex you're going to have.
No.
So,
and here's the thing. If it has gotten to also the point that you are asking for this, that this question to three unprofessional professionals, it's time. You've enjoyed it enough. You have created, you have enough story here to go write a season of a show, I'm sure. So like pin it. And now like it's time to, it's time for a Beyonce transition into the next song.
Yes. Yes.
You need to leave your tyrant behind and get sweet honey bucking with somebody else.
Exactly.
Somebody else.
Okay. And make your own American Requiem. All right.
Bounce on that shit, dance, no hands.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. This has been such a treat. Can you believe it?
It's, I honestly like, if I'm being completely honest, I was a little nervous about this one because I just knew that obviously Donnell was going to have, you know, the honestly the only opinion, and it was going to be, I felt like I was maybe going to be unprepared and I was like doubting anything that I thought about Beyonce and just kind of like, oh, I don't know enough. But like it turned into the most nutritious conversation about art and just music and like I am so happy you were on with us today and that you were available, and like it was so much fun.
Thank you for letting me spill my brain all over the podcast and talk about all the things that I think about, and as soon as we hang out I'm gonna press play on the album again.
And you know Johnny said that he is so sad to have missed you for this, because he is like, he wants to unpack this with you.
Wait, we have question. I have a question for you. This is a Johnny special request, but hold on.
Oh, I didn't get this.
Wait, no, it's in our thread.
Yes.
Okay. So,
okay.
He was curious about, you tweeted, on April 1st. Oh, today, actually, at 7 a.m., I spent a little too much time at the deviled egg. Hold on. I spent a little too much time at the deviled egg table yesterday. And then Johnny said, nice way to tell us you've been tooting all morning. And like, he's like, tell us more about that. That's what he wanted to know.
Listen, I love a deviled egg. I'm a deviled egg stan.
Yes. Did you make them?
No, I did not make
them. Okay, good.
But I went to an Easter brunch.
Cute. Yes.
It was lovely. And you know, we arrived and we waited like probably like an hour and a half for the food or whatever. Things were getting ready. And so the deviled eggs were available to consume upon arrival. And now this was 1 o'clock. So I hadn't eaten yet, which was my fault, but it was 1 o'clock. And so I was like, well, I gotta have something. And so there was just a platter of deviled eggs. So I don't know how many I had. I may have had like 10.
Wow.
And I was just woken up at around 2 a.m.
How's the stomach now?
The windows have been open all day in the apartment.
Wow.
So we're
work.
Good.
Work.
What
work.
Is it? That Santa Ana wind? Is that what it's called?
Yes, it was something, honey.
Louisiana.
I did love that he responded to that tweet. I was like, not this one.
That is so funny.
Well, we'll have to have you back.
We will.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's have a Cowboy Carter check-in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See how we're all doing.
Does anyone know what the next big girly album that's coming out is? Who do we have next?
Isn't it Taylor's?
Taylor.
Yeah.
Well, coming up, I don't know the order, but coming up, we have Taylor, we have Dua.
Dua Peeps.
Kwani's favorite. Out.
Love Dua.
Like, we already had Ari. We have B. Casey just came out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Less. I feel like somebody else. Oh, Billy just cleared. Sorry, I should use last names. Billie Eilish just cleared all of her social media. So, you know, apparently there's a new.
Okay, a new era.
Something coming with that.
Why did she clear all of her social? That's.
Doja Cat did the same thing. She cleared her Instagram to one post. So she should be coming out with something soon.
Oh, can we just get a new Taylor Dane album? Can Taylor Dane release a new album? God.
I'm pressing play on that as soon as it drops.
Correct. Where are the singers?
Yeah.
Same.
For anyone who doesn't know, Taylor Dane is a singer from the good old days. What's her famous song?
Tell It to My Heart.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Splash. And then the other one that I think of is
only one.
The ballad.
Yes. Hold on.
Did she?
Of course, on the tip of my tongue.
Love will lead you back.
Yes.
Love will lead you back. That's a big singer.
So a vocalist.
Yes.
A big singer.
I listen to singers.
Well, thank you so much, Donnell. We'll have you back on for whomever is our next pop girly. We cannot wait.
We can't wait.
Thank you for having me.
This slice of tres leches was particularly sweet. So
sure
thank
was.
You.
I'm glad I could add
and
some dark
roast. I do want to finish. Chris, our filler in Chris, John Doe, in the Bay Area, please, please keep us updated. We would love to know how this goes. And not just because we're three gossipy gays who are kind of like, where is this going? But because we really hope that like some of this discussion helped open up some more possibilities for you. And you are not stuck. You can literally decide any day to change your mind and kind of like rid yourself of this situation and give yourself a boundary with this person. But if you get married, we want to know, you know what I mean?
Yes.
If it turns into like all of a sudden, like Two Most Wanted is playing at your wedding, we need to know about this.
Also, I feel like little Countess Von meme, which is like, this. Can we get a dick pic?
I'd like to see.
That would help us help you.
I'd like to see it. In the words of Monique.
I think that would be very helpful. Exactly.
Yeah.
A little dick pic. Just to see. It might help us give you more clarity.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read her.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.